It's City Desk News and Views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
I was wondering if you were going to get that out there, Mr. Sackett. My name is Vincent Creel. I'm the Public Affairs Manager for the city, as you said. We're recording this program on Thursday, June 2nd at 10:35 at Biloxi City Hall. And we want to welcome in again Mr. David Nichols, the Chief Administrative Officer of the city.
Good morning, William, and what's your name? Vincent. Vincent, I couldn't get it out.
I thought dramatic pause, you know, instead of just letting it go along, pausing and really having people focus in on who they're about to hear.
Now, we're going to have Cecilia Dobbs with us in a moment, who's going to give us a preview of a big event that's actually coming up tonight. We record this program on Thursday, and there's an event tonight that's going to be a prelude to what's coming up this weekend. Then we're going to have Kristen Greger on the podcast, who's going to talk about, as we're entering storm season, floodplain management and why it is so important that you take action now to prepare for the storm season. David, we just had, I think, $8.95 million come down from Washington, and this was in the form of money to help with some easements, and I think it had to do with our infrastructure work. Explain.
Yes, that's money that we've been waiting on for quite some time. We have been anticipating it, and in anticipation of the money being received, we've gone out and we've spent a little over $6 million buying easements along Highway 90. As some of the listening audience may know, that after Katrina, the MDOT wanted all of the water and sewer lines from under Highway 90. So this is one of those projects that we're moving over. Will be all north of 90 with all the water and sewer, so none of it's under Highway 90. And of course, you know, that works to the Highway 90's benefit, so that, you know, if you ever have a water main bust or sewer line collapse, you're not having to close down a lane or two lanes of Highway 90. But anyway, we have spent a little over $6 million, and so we still got additional easements to buy. So this money will go towards paying the city back and to future easements that we buy.
My understanding is what we're doing is we're building an underground utility corridor that will go from Point Cadet all the way to DeBees Road. And from what you told me, we're buying easements. The land we need is anywhere from 5 to 25 feet north of the highway. And we've bought 210 of them, and we've got to buy a total of 240. Some people think that whenever we hear about a FEMA thing, a FEMA grant, that we're just waiting on that money and it's going to fund whatever. But this actually causes you some grief, and the mayor and the city council some grief, because this is actually, these are reimbursements, huh?
That's right. We spend the money, then we get reimbursed. And that's what's, you know, really, you know, it's some of these easements that we haven't been reimbursed for, you know, are going back as much as a year. And so we had an additional, I think we spent about $3 million. And so now we're we got six that's still outstanding. So we'll be glad to get all that money flowing back to the city.
What does that do for you whenever you're, I mean, we've got an operating budget of about $55 million a year. So when you have to come up with $2 and $3 and $4 million like that, dare I ask, where does it come from?
Well, it just comes out of the ending fund balance, and so we're operating as a bank, basically, for these projects. You know, we're having to fund them, and we're paying for them and paying everything associated with them, and waiting on our money to come back.
And whenever we talk about ending fund balance, I usually equate that to, like, your savings account or money you've got left over from your operating expenses.
Right, just like at your home, it's your little savings account you set aside, and we hope at the end of the day that Vincent Creel can pay his mortgage that month, and that's what we've been waiting on FEMA to help us pay that money.
And we want to thank Mertis Frank, and who's that chief of staff guy that works for Thad Cochran? Yeah, Hurd, Keith Hurd. Keith Hurd, our good friend, and Myrtis Frank, staffers with Senator Thad Cochran. We also want to thank Senator Roger Wicker's office for all the work that they have done in helping push this forward. Am I leaving somebody out?
Well, yeah, and we don't want to leave out the local MEMA and FEMA office. They have worked relentless trying to get it pushed through Atlanta and up through Washington, doing all they can on their end to get it done. So it's been a huge effort on everyone's part to get this done, and we're very appreciative that it's finally done.
Okay, I want to get to Cecilia and I want to get to Kristen, but first let me ask you, what about the infrastructure work north of the railway? We had done some paving. Is there any more paving planned, or are we accessing, or what's the status?
We do have a little bit additional money that we haven't spent, and the mayor is trying to look at, and it's not a lot, and trying to see the spot that'll be most effective to spend that money at.
Okay, we're going to be doing another video probably next week with Oscar Render to give an update on where we are. Cecilia Dobbs, there's a big preservation in May. It's called Preservation in May, but there's a program tonight.
That's correct. Our Preservation in May series, of course, typically ends in May. But this year they are holding a bonus event, which will be tonight. And the reason why this bonus event is because it's the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Emma Harvey. And this also ties into our Blessing of the Fleet event, which will be this weekend. Again, tonight, at beginning at 5 p.m. at the Michael Parish.
St. Michael's.
Life Center, which is part of the St. Michael's Church on Highway 90, at 5 p.m., the bonus Preservation in May event, again, will begin at 5. It'll be the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Emma Harvey. Now, this is a schooner that sank in 1916 when a hurricane hit. The crew and captain, which was led by Captain Dugan, mm-hmm. and his crew, the entire crew was lost. They went out on a trip to Chandler Island. A hurricane hit. Back then, we didn't have detailed information from the weather system like we do now. So the storm swept them away. It took a 39-day search to find the boat, and the crew and the captain was never found. This event will be followed by a mass to commemorate and remember all local fishermen lost at sea, which will include this crew. Now, that event, the mass, is the first event of the 87th annual Blessing in the Fleet and Shrimp Festival, which, of course, begins Thursday. They have events Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and it ends Sunday with the actual Blessing of the Fleet at 2 p.m.
And that Blessing of the Fleet is going to be held down at essentially south of the Biloxi Small Craft Harbor in what is known as the Biloxi Channel. The other thing is this big deal known as the Fay-Do-Do. I think that's going to be on Saturday. I know it's going to be on Saturday, and it's going to be down at Point Cadet Plaza. Fay-Do-Do is a French term usually translated as street dance. And it's a big occasion of revelry that leads up to the Mass of the Blessing, which is going to be on Saturday afternoon. And then after the Mass of the Blessing, down at the Fay-Do-Do, there will be the crowning of the Shrimp Queen, and the Shrimp King will then be involved in that crowning. And then, of course, everything leads up to the centerpiece of the weekend, which is the actual Blessing of the Fleet. We got one more event coming up on Sunday afternoon. What's that?
Yes, the Friends of Hiller Park will hold a bingo night. This will be Sunday. Doors will open at 1. The event starts at 2. Again, it's a bingo night. It's open to the public. You must be 18 years or older. They're going to have food and drinks available for purchase, and they're going to have raffles and live auction. Now, this event, again, is by the Friends of Hiller Park, and it's put on to, of course, gain proceeds for the revitalization of Hiller Park. They've already received enough money to purchase 2 playgrounds, which they're going to put into effect, and then they're going to start working on other projects, such as tennis courts and bathrooms and stuff like that. But again, that's Sunday, June the 5th, at the Elks Lodge on Highway 90. Doors open at 1 p.m., must be 18 or older.
Now, this is going to be a bingo, like bingo as most people know. There's no strange bingo, just call the numbers like B1, that type, right?
That's correct.
Well, you never know. I have to ask these things.
She's having a rough day today, isn't she? And it's coming over to me, too. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm not having a rough day.
Maybe you should go play bingo.
Okay, so thank you for that report. Don't go anywhere because I know you're going to have some more to add to this show. I want to welcome into our City Desk podcast Kristen Krager, who is in charge of the flood. Did I pronounce that name correctly?
No.
Say it.
Kristen Krager.
Kristen Krager is our floodplain manager. Actually, you are a certified floodplain manager, but you're over something that's very important to the citizens of Biloxi, and that's called the Community Rating System. Explain what the Community Rating System is, and if you would, what exactly is a floodplain?
The Community Rating System is a voluntary program that the city chooses to be in. It's based on points, and the more points that we have, the better discount we get on our flood insurance. So it's my job to figure out which projects or plans would be good for the city, activities that we would be able to do. And we're currently a class 5, and so anybody that lives in a special flood hazard area gets a 25% discount on their flood insurance.
Now, our flood hazard areas, that encompasses just a huge area of the city.
Yeah, there's about 18,000 parcels in Biloxi, and over 8,000 of them are in a special flood hazard area.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't live in that area, but there's a number of things that you need to do, huh?
Right. There are precautions. There's special building codes. There's FEMA regulations that we have to go by. Most people, if they've built back since Hurricane Katrina, they're elevated now. Just certain precautions you have to take.
Now, there are a number of things in this community rating system, and as I understand it, it's a scale from 1 to 10, and at 5, below, and the lower you get, the better you're doing. 5, we are the best in the state, which is something great for you and Rick Stickler, who oversees the floodplain as well. But what are some of the things that y'all do throughout the year? Because I know there's a number of outreach things you do. You don't just come up with these. You actually have a plan that you follow.
Right. Well, actually, we have an outreach at the mall this weekend. It's with the Home and Garden Show that Alpha Media is putting on. So we'll be out there to be able to answer questions, pass out information. So we do that.
Mm-hmm. The mail outs. We do 3 mail outs a year. The first one is asking people if they have flood insurance. And that's really something we encourage people to do, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's especially important, like I said, 50% of the city basically is in a special flood hazard area, and about 25% of flooding that happens is outside of the special flood hazard area, so that's about 75% of our city.
Is there something that we as citizens in Biloxi can do to help you to get us to a 4, let us say, from a 5 to a 4? Is there some active programs that we could get that number lower, which means our percentage would be better?
As far as citizens go, about the only thing is if they follow the rules and get a permit when they are starting to build. That way they know what rules they need to follow and if they need to elevate.
One of the biggest things that has always bothered me, and we always put it in our storm and flood preparedness guide that we do, is when you're out there cutting your grass in your yard, what is it that we don't want them to do?
We don't want it to go into the storm drain because then it clogs the drains and then the water drains and then we flood.
It floods your property as well as your neighbor's property. So the most important thing you can do is either create a compost or bag it and leave it at the curbside and city crews will pick it up. But the biggest thing is before you go to do any construction, what should you do?
Always get a permit. We have so many people that come in after the fact and they've built too low or we've had to ask them to either elevate or they have to start completely over again. So it's always better to be prepared.
The other thing that we always see that happens after storms is, and it doesn't even have to be a major storm. It can be a minor storm where we'll get a number of transient contractors that come into the city. One of the biggest things you need to do is when someone approaches you about doing any kind of work, make sure that they have a city permit. Pay no money in advance. Any reputable contractor, they're not going to need any money in advance.
Also, make sure that your contractor is licensed through City of Biloxi.
And bonded.
We don't require bonding anymore.
Oh, But you get that permit, though, right?
But yes, absolutely get your permit and make sure that your contractor is licensed. You can call the building division for City of Biloxi, and they have a list of everybody who's licensed in the city.
Those are the biggest things. We always see them after the storm. A number of people come in, and we're not saying that they're not reputable. What we're saying is don't pay any money in advance. Check to make sure that they got the proper licenses. And, yeah, you even though we don't require, you might want to ask if they have any a bond to make sure that you're protected. Kristen, anything else? What if someone has a question about whether or not they live in a flood zone?
They can call Rick Stickler or myself at the building division. They can look online. The maps are online at the City of Biloxi's website, or they can come into our office and talk to us.
There is a little thing on the front page of the website. It says storm and flood preparedness. Okay, so if somebody wanted to come out and meet y'all and get this information firsthand, what are your hours going to be at Edgewater Mall this weekend?
From 10 to 8 on Saturday, and we'll be there from 12 to 4 on Sunday.
If someone has a request or a question, they can email you. Give them that address.
Absolutely. It's K. Greger, it's G-R-E-G-E-R, at biloxi.ms.us.
Okay, William, we're going to have her back again as we move on into storm season more to give updates about any information that you might have, and I want to thank you for being here today. Cecilia, anything else?
Nope, just make sure you get out and about this weekend. Enjoy some of our activities we have in Biloxi.
Like bingo.
Yeah, bingo. That's exactly right. Bingo, blessing of the fleet, and stop off at Edgewater Mall and get your storm and flood preparedness information. William Sackett, I want to thank you for being here. If anybody has any questions about any city meetings that are coming up, go to the front page of the website. On the left-hand side, it says public meetings. When you click on that, it's going to give you the agendas and everything you need to know.
You've been listening to City Desk. That's news and views from City Hall with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.